Well, can you be gay and Christian? Are there really new biblical arguments that say that you can practice homosexuality and follow Jesus at the same time? And how can we stand with God's word and reach out with love and compassion at the same time?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, would I love to hear from you today if you take issue with what I have to say. If you believe the things I'm speaking about are not true, I would love to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. At the same time, if Jesus has done a wonderful work in your life, a work of transformation, a work of forgiveness, a work of freedom, and you have come out of homosexuality or come out of being a practicing homosexual or found forgiveness and acceptance in the sight of God and transformation by his love. Love to hear from you as well. 866-34-TRUTH. My book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? Officially available today in all forms. So ebook and print book as well. And I just checked on Amazon because there have been some bogus reviews posted that were just personal attacks filled with misinformation and then misinformation about the book as well. And that's not what reviews are supposed to be for. I noticed this. Can You Be Gay and Christian? Fresh out today is number one in gay and lesbian nonfiction on Amazon. Is number one gay and lesbian political social sciences, specific demographics, under that category, number one. And those who are actually reading it are being blessed by the content, which was written out of love, which was written with a deep sense of sensitivity for the struggles that many go through who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, written with a real recognition of some of the ugliness, some of the ugly attack that comes from professing Christians as well. But I just want to say something to all of my friends, every one of you who is a follower of Jesus. If we honor the Lord and stand up for what's right, if we honor the Lord and speak the truth, we will be hated and vilified. There are a lot of pastors, and some of you are listening to me right now. Can I make an appeal to you? Do what's right. Even if you get flack for it, do it with love, do it with a broken heart. Oh, you will be maligned. And this is on many, many different fronts, but in particular in this one. Don't be so concerned with your reputation, and don't be so concerned with the reputation of your church. Be more concerned with on the day you stand before the Lord, when he asks you, have you been faithful? Have you stood up for what is right? That's what you want to be thinking about. One of the most powerful speeches I ever saw was a message given by Martin Luther King when he was 36 years old. And in the midst of the civil rights movement, as he was advocating nonviolent resistance, there were many, many violent attacks that came against him or came against his followers to the point of church being firebombed. And he said many wanted to step back and reevaluate the strategy because it was so costly. And he said, look, he said, if a man happens to be 36 years old today, as he was at that time, he said, some great door of opportunity stands before him to stand up for what's right, to stand up for truth or justice. And he withdraws because he's afraid he's going to be attacked or his family's going to be attacked, or he's going to lose his job or something's going to happen. He said, that man may go on breathing till he's 80. But when he stops breathing at 80, that's just going to announce the earlier death of his spirit. He said, a man dies when he refuses to stand up for that which is right. A man dies when he refuses to stand up for truth. So by God's grace, regardless of the maligning, the flack, the ugliness, the negative attacks that will come, we'll stand up for what's right, knowing that that's the ultimate expression of love if we do it with a heart full of love. We'll be right back with your calls, and I want to go through some of the specific issues we cover in Can You Be Gay and Christian?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Joey, I want you to cue up clip number 10. Many times, Christians have been their own worst enemies, or professing Christians. They have spoken with hatred. They have spoken with anger. They have spoken with ugly generalizations. They have spoken in such a way that they have driven people away from Jesus rather than to Jesus. And in point of fact, we have to overcome that. Look, I'm a Jewish follower of Jesus. Whenever I share the gospel with a Jewish person that knows their history at all, I have to overcome the horrific things that professing Christians have done to Jews in Jesus' name. And it's the same thing here, that there have been hateful voices attacking people in the name of Jesus and maybe showing up at a gay pride event or something like that and speaking in ugly terms that are destructive. It's one thing to say sin is sin, and it is another thing to speak in a way that misrepresents the Lord. Here's a gay pride event in Tampa, and here is a street preacher, and God knows his motivation. I don't know who the person is, but generally speaking, this is how all of us will be seen by those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. And we're talking about my new book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? And I'd love to hear from you, in particular if you differ with me, but if you have a testimony that's relevant as well. And these voices are often the loud minority, just like Fred Phelps got a whole lot more press than the rest of us who are reaching out in love. Clip number 10.
You need honor God and fear God is what you need to do. You're an exact example of why America's getting judged by God. Homos just like you. Wicked and vile. I'm a born-again Christian. That's what I am. That's who I am to judge you. On the road to hell. What a wicked, vile, perverted individual. Full of the devil and damning this country straight to hell.
Right, well, I read a book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? And immediately I get attacked by different people saying, you're just like these people. Now, of course, you couldn't read a page of the book, even with a half-open heart and mind, and come anywhere near that conclusion. Nonetheless, you will get tarred and feathered. And the first thing we need to do is by our love, by our words, by our deeds, show we are not like that person who actually was hoping that his hearers would get AIDS and calls them by names that we're not going to play on the air. 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call. And in my book, which you can now order from your local bookstore, get it with a special debate DVD that I have through our website, through AskDrBrown.org, or just online, Amazon, ChristianBook.com, any of the Barnes & Noble, any of the different dealers. At the beginning of each chapter, what I do is I give a short statement of what the, quote, gay Christian argument is, and then the biblical answer. So, chapter one, love does no harm to its neighbor. I really tried to lay out the heart, the mind, the soul of these arguments so that you feel the weight of them. It's always my goal when I'm writing anything apologetically, in other words, defense of the faith, interacting with controversial issues, to present the opposing viewpoint as accurately as I possibly can. So this would be the argument from those who say, hey, we are gay Christians. This is the argument. Love is the fulfillment of the law and does no harm to its neighbor. But the church is teaching that homosexual practice is sin, has done tremendous harm to many fine LGBT people, and is therefore not loving. If we are to love our neighbors ourselves, then we must affirm our LGBT brothers and sisters. So I have a short, concise answer to that in the book, but I begin in the book by quoting from Justin Lee, the founder of the Gay Christian Network. Now, maybe he's never gotten my emails. Maybe the people that said they passed messages on to him never have, but for a few years now, I've been reaching out to him. And even saying, Justin, we live in the same state. Let's meet halfway, and I want to sit, have you tell me your story. I mean, I've read it now, but just sit with you, not out to attack you or win a biblical argument. So yet another invitation. If you know Justin, let him know. We've been trying to reach him through his website and through other means for some years now. Justin Lee is the founder of the Gay Christian Network. In his important book, Torn, he shares his life story in painful, heart-rending detail. Called God Boy as a teenager because of his devotion to Jesus, he was shocked to discover that he was not attracted to the opposite sex, or as were all his friends and peers. More shocking still was the discovery that he was attracted to the same sex. Like many others who have lived through this spiritual and emotional trauma, he often cried himself to sleep, pleading with God to change him, only to find his romantic and sexual desires unchanged. What was he to do? He knew he could not act on these desires. After all, he was single and Christian, so acting on his sexual urges was forbidden, but he had his whole life ahead of him. Would he never be able to marry and have kids? Was he consigned to celibacy unless God changed him? As he tells the story in agony of heart and out of devotion to the Lord, he promised to be celibate for the rest of his life if that was what his Heavenly Father required. But was it? What did the Scripture say? He gave himself to intensive study of the relevant biblical passages in Genesis, Leviticus, Romans, and 1 Corinthians, wrestling with the Word, wanting to find the truth, only to conclude that he was still not sure. But the uncertainty was more than he could bear. He was afraid of talking himself into something that wasn't right in God's sight, and he decided that he would have to commit to being celibate unless God somehow changed his thinking. But even this didn't sit right with him. And then the light went on. He concluded that there was a higher principle, an undeniable principle, based on which it would be perfectly right in God's sight for two gay men or two gay women to make a lifelong monogamous commitment to one another. In other words, to enter into same-sex, quote, marriage. It was the law of love, the golden rule. Now, why do I start the book with that and then expand on it? Because I want people to really understand what someone goes through that says, I want to follow Jesus, but I'm attracted to the same sex. Does that mean God hates me? Does that mean he's damning me? Come on, some of you are listening, and your 13, 14-year-old kid raised in the faith has come out to you and said, hey, I'm gay, I'm lesbian. And they're not just saying I'm same-sex attracted. They're even stating things in our current sociological terms and as far as this is my identity. And some are saying, hey, this is who I am, and get used to it. And others are saying, I don't know what to do because I want to follow Jesus and I want to be married and have a family, but what does this mean? Before we can really reach people in the midst of their struggles, we need to understand what those struggles are. I was reading a book by a man who prays for the sick, often has a healing ministry. And he was saying in his book, he said, you are going to go through a lot of pain. You are going to get involved in the lives of many sick people and pray for them and not see them healed. And it is agony. And in his book, he goes through all the people he prayed for that were not healed, that have, you know, been everlastingly etched in his mind. The pain he carries, the hours he spent praying for them. He said, unless you're willing to go through the emotional pain, you can't pray for the sick. Well, it's the same thing. If we're really going to reach out effectively to those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, we need to understand their mindset, their worldview, and their pain before reaching them with the good news of Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Jay in Manhattan. Thank you, sir, for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, Jay. Nice to hear from you again.
Always nice to hear from you. I you know that guy who was yelling. I just had that. I just had one of these guys yell at me on the telephone. You know, because of my autism, and I said, you know, I think it's a blessing. You know, and I'll tell you why, because it has to do with what you're talking about. And he compared me with the seven sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm this happened 10 minutes ago.
All right. Well, anyway, well, that's not going to happen here. You're in friendly ground. But, yeah, please, we've got about a minute and a half before the break, so dive in.
Okay. For me, the easiest people for me to minister to were, like, the girls from the Minnesota Strip. Most of them were, like, gay or bisexual. And for some reason, also pre-op transsexuals, you know, like the Christine Jorgensen type. They're the ones who would ask me for Bibles. They're the ones who would ask me to take them to church.
Really?
So I find that very interesting, and I said, you know, what you should do is pray for a God in the name of Jesus to make you what God wants you to be, not what anybody else wants you to be, not even what you want to be. Ask him, you know, to God to make them what you wanted, what him, what you want him to make, you know, to become. And I was able to minister to them in that sense.
Right. And so do you feel, so when you say that you've gone through your own struggles or issues, that you can say to them, hey, don't let this stop you from coming to Jesus. Don't let your own struggles stop you, or don't identify yourself based on your struggles.
Well, I said, like, look at me. You know, I'm not your typical person. And I said, look at Jesus. You know, I mean, like, Jesus broke bread with prostitutes, tax collectors were stealing from the people.
Got it. Got it. Hey, Jay, I appreciate your heart and reaching out. May the Lord use you to reach many who society overlooks and to help the church be more careful in this regard, too. God bless.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Jay, who's called us a number of times before from Manhattan, mentions autism, other challenges he's had, and reminds us that often in our church settings, we overlook the ones that are social outcasts. We overlook, now, please hear me. I'm talking to people and you're shaking your head like, what are you talking about, man? We spend every week on the streets reaching the homeless and the hurting and the ones society won't go to and the elderly and the shut-in. I know. Many churches excel in this regard. But many others, you know, if they don't quite fit our mold, they're not going to feel at home in our midst. Here I was just in Boston ministering and one of the pastoral staff members, if you're listening, Brother Chuk, is blind. He got measles when he was 7 years old as a child in Nigeria. Many of the other kids in the village died. He is a lawyer. He's a pastor. He travels around the world as a blind man. And as he was talking, it hit me, why haven't I done more to get my books out in audible form? I mean, we haven't had funds to do it up to now, and the publishers haven't just done it. But I thought, wow, there got to be a lot of blind readers, and the books are not available for them. We've got to do something, just something I hadn't thought of sufficiently. I normally thought of audio books just for someone like me riding in the car if I want to listen to something, as opposed to thinking about the many fine blind Christians that be unable to read. Many times, those churches that identify as, quote, gay churches, they're more sensitive to the needs of the social outcast, and that's where someone will come and then find a place of love. They need to find that place of love with us. However, it will be love that tells the full message of the gospel. Let's play clip number 26, and I'm going to the phones. This is young author Matthew Vines talking about his own, quote, discovery.
When I was 19, I finally asked myself if I was gay, and the answer was terrifying. The only other people who'd grown up at my evangelical church in Kansas who'd come out had left. It was like they'd been erased from the community. In my church, as in so many others, being gay and Christian wasn't an option. But I couldn't give up on my faith. I didn't want to lose my family or church either. So I left school to study the central question so many gay Christians face. How could I reconcile my sexual orientation with what the Bible says about same-sex relations?
Right, and his conclusion is what he spells out in clip number 27. This is part of his ad for his book. It's getting a lot of attention, but basically is a rehash of older arguments presented in a very winsome way, and then a real attack on gender complementarity. And providentially, his book came out. 2 weeks later, my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian, came out. All right, let's listen to clip 27 and then right to the phones.
It's the culmination of 4 years of research, synthesizing for a popular audience the key insights of biblical scholars about the 6 references in Scripture to same-sex behavior. It's also a personal story, describing how my study of those passages changed my dad's mind about same-sex relationships. And more than that, it's a blueprint for how other Christians can come to affirm same-sex marriage while also affirming their commitment to the full authority of the Bible.
Ah, it's impossible. Matthew, your dad needs to read my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian, and other books on the subject. Impossible to do what you're saying, sir. That's why we pray for you. And the idea is there are just six passages that address this. No, the whole Bible does. The whole Bible addresses it from beginning to end, as I demonstrate in Can You Begin Christian, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York. Ed, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, praise God. How you doing, Mike?
Doing very well, thank you.
Yeah, well, for most of my life, you know, when I was a teenager, I had problems with, you know, being attracted to, you know, because I grew up in a home for boys, and, you know, there would be boys in my room, and, you know, my roommate, and, you know, and we participated in these behaviors, and it wasn't until I think I went to prison that I actually heard the gospel. But all between then, you know, I was living in New York. I was involved in male prostitution. I used to live with another fella and all kinds of, you know, stuff. But, like, I never knew the truth. And it wasn't until when it was God that actually did a work in my life where, you know, I had these desires. And even now, just like, you know, every other temptation, every other sin, you know, that this thing may pop into my head. But because of the work that God has done, I don't react to those feelings anymore like I used to. So it's been 40 years or so since, you know, being a teenager, growing up in a home for boys, and then being, you know, involved in male prostitution in the 70s and, you know, went to prison for a while. And then when I went to prison, I heard the gospel. And when I came out of prison, my whole desire for that lifestyle was totally gone. And just like every other sin, every once in a while, this thing may, you know, pop into my mind, but I don't react to it because, you know, I mean, you know, God, like I said, God comes in and he does a work in your heart, and you just, you know, you, because it's, but the thing that I see is that, people that really have that sort of hate for homosexuals are really have some sort of attraction to homosexuals themselves. And they're trying to kill that thing in them because, you know, maybe they have some sort of attraction to people in that way. But, you know, that anger and that frustration, I have people in my family that are gay, but I treat them with love and respect, and I don't try to preach them or anything.
Tell you what, just stay right there if you can. Our phone lines are jammed, folks. I do want to get to your calls. Remember, if you're listening on WMCA or WAVA-FM, remember our two great stations, New York and D.C., keep listening by going to our website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. You can keep listening there. Just click to listen on your cell phone. You'll see the banner to listen live or on your tablet or computer. Or you can keep listening in the D.C. area on WAVA AM for this next hour. Ed, I just want to ask you a couple of questions on the other side of the break. And the thing, of course, that's a shame is anyone now that reaches out with compassion to those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or who stands for social morality, you'll immediately be accused of being closet gay or if you speak against pornography, into pornography. But when you see the lies, it just reminds you, yeah, that's why you're doing what you're doing. A reading in Romans 1 from the Tree of Life version, it speaks of how the human race turned away from God and God increasingly gave us over to our own desires. And it says this, for this reason, God gave them up to shameful passions. Even their women exchanged natural relations for what is against nature. Against nature, the way God established things in the created order, Romans 1, as we lay out in Can You Begin Christian. Likewise, the men abandoned natural relations with women and were burning with passion toward one another, men committing shameful acts with other men, receiving themselves the due penalty for their error. This, in fact, is part of the general fall of the human race with all of the other fallen issues in our lives. And that's why Jesus comes to die for every one of us. Friends, if you've not yet ordered your copy of the Tree of Life version, suggest a donation of $30 for the complete Bible. They're shipped. They'll be arriving at our facilities by the end of the month. We're the first of a few ministries in America to get these Bibles complete, Old and New Testament, in the Tree of Life Messianic version. Suggest a gift of $30, but your gift of any size, be as generous as you can. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Delighted to be with you. And again, when you stand up for righteousness, when you speak the truth in different social areas, here, go in front of an abortion clinic and reach out to women with the love of God and tell them that there's something better than killing their baby. Don't even use those words. Just tell them there's something better than terminating their pregnancy. And watch from the passersby, watch from others, the hatred, the vilification, the ugly attack, the name-calling. It will shock you, but it's understandable because in that sense we are hitting a nerve. 866-34-TRUTH, my new book, Can You Be Gay and Christian, now available. So Ed from Brooklyn, thanks for holding. I just wanted to ask you this question, sir. You talk about the things you were involved with, even male prostitution, going to jail, hearing the gospel. You say that you can have a desire or temptation, but you don't act on that. Whereas today, we're told someone is gay, someone is lesbian. In other words, this is who they are, and therefore, they should have the right to act on being who they are. Do you make a distinction between desires and attractions you might have versus who you actually are?
Well, I would have to say that, you know, just like, you know, when I was on drugs, you know, I had a desire for drugs, and, you know, and the church would, you know, and they would, you know, and I would fall, and they would restore me, and I would pray and ask God forgiveness, and I would be restored again. So, you know, with this same desire that I have, I mean, it's there, but I just, you know, just like I, you know, the desires for drugs, you know, they pop into my head every now and then, but I just know what God is requiring of me, and he gives me that ability after submitting myself unto him, you know, and I submit myself unto him, and these desires just go away. But every once in a while, they pop up. And like I said, but there's something about the sexual desires, that this is a very, very strong thing. Out of all the things that I've been, you know, that have stronghold in my life, the sexual problem has a really, really, and I don't know if you could refer to these things as a demonic influence, but it's a very, very powerful demonic influence. And it's
right.
Very
now,
hard.
Would you say, Ed, that your own life is blessed in the Lord and that you're living a full life, or are you living in constant struggle and defeat?
No, it's not a constant struggle. It's not. I mean, you know, years ago, I mean, you know, when I didn't see no light at the tunnel, I was totally under the power of that influence.
Yep.
But as I totally surrendered, you know, and submitted myself, each time the temptation would come apart. It's only every once in a while, out of a blue moon, this mm-hmm. thing will pop up, because God got me to the point where, you know, this thing used to knock on the door on a regular basis. But now it knocks on the door every once in a while. And I could, you know, sort of wink at it. You know, oh, yeah, you know,
got
there's
it.
No way, there's no way. But like I said, it's not me that's enabling me to stand. It's the power of God. Because there was a time that, you know, that even when I was in prison, there was, you know, there were people there that, you know, that I wanted to participate in this behavior. Even when I got out, you know, and it took, you know, and just can't explain it. God does something in your heart where he, you know, changes your nature, where that stuff don't have that sort of hold on you anymore. And it don't have hold on me. I don't struggle with it anymore. Where years ago I used to struggle with it.
Yeah, and Ed, that is the power of the gospel to transform, and it's also part of the discipleship process. That's why Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you'll know the truth, and you'll be my disciples. Indeed, the truth will make you free. Ed, thanks for sharing the testimony of God's grace in your life, and may others listening be encouraged. Whatever your issue is, be it pornography, be it drug addiction, be it alcoholism, be it same-sex attractions, be it something else in your life, whatever it is, God is greater, and there is a place of blessing and freedom in Jesus. We'll be right back with your calls.
Sing it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
God and the Gay Christian is a book for gay Christians and their supporters who want to make a difference in the church. It's for their family members and other Christians who feel like they can't support LGBT people and stay true to the Bible. And it's for those outside the church who want to dialogue respectfully and persuasively with Christians who oppose marriage equality. At its core, this book is about building a future in which all Christians come to affirm their LGBT brothers and sisters, and where no one ever has to have that realization be terrifying again.
So he gets a free ad on my program. That was Matthew Vines advocating for his book, Gone with the Gay Christian. To the extent the book has success, I'm sure it'll be read. I don't know how much it'll be read. To the extent it has success, it will succeed in deceiving people. Matthew, once again, my door is open to public debate, moderated debate in a civil spirit. My friend Dr. James White has been reaching out to you as well. Why not find a colleague, a scholar, a theologian on your side, and let's do this. Let's put it on YouTube. Perhaps we can do a live webcast. Let's look at the text. Let's look at what Scripture says. Let's bring it all to light. Let's bring everything to light. And for those who want the record set straight, my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian, is now available. You can order it any different way, online, any of the your Christian bookstore. And you can get it with a special discount with a debate I did with a gay activist who claimed to be a born-again Christian. That's through my website, askdrbrown.org. And you'll find it written with compassion, with care, and with scriptural accuracy. My second chapter of the book, To Judge or Not to Judge, presents this argument from the, quote, gay Christian side. The church has become judgmental and homophobic to the point that many LGBT young people have actually killed themselves. Jesus taught us not to judge. And aren't we being judgmental? And I start this chapter by asking, did you ever hear of the movie Prayers for Bobby, based on the book of the same name? The subtitle of the book is A Mother's Coming to Terms with the Suicide of Her Gay Son. And it tells the story of Bobby Griffith, who was his, quote, mother's favorite son, the perfect all-American boy growing up under deeply religious influences in Walnut Creek, California. But Bobby was also gay. And this is how the movie is described on the film's website. Struggling with a conflict no one knew of, much less understood, Bobby finally came out to his family. Despite the tentative support of his father, two sisters, and older brother, Bobby's mother, Mary, turned to the fundamentalist teachings of her church to rescue her son from what she felt was an irredeemable sin. As Mary came closer to the realization that Bobby could not be, quote, healed, she rejected him, denying him a mother's unconditional love and driving her favorite son to suicide. Oh, yeah, I lay these things out in the book so that the church recognizes this and then says, okay, well, what does it mean? What was Jesus talking about when he said that we shouldn't judge or that we shouldn't judge a certain way? And why must we look at these issues? I quote from leading gay theologians, activists, professing Christians, so you can see things in their own words, and then we lay out what Scripture says. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Angela in, well, I was heading to Maryland. Let's go to Lindenhurst, Long Island. Our boy, folks aren't able to hold today. 866-34-TRUTH. That means we just opened up two lines that were otherwise jammed. Let's go to Westchester, New York. Whoa, Dwight, what happened during the break, man? Dwight normally checks our folks during the break, and we just suddenly lost them. All right, let's try Brooklyn, New York. Rosa, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call. I guess I'm lucky that the other ones and hung up, I guess, in a way. Thank you. But you're an amazing person that I always listen to. I just wanted to say it's difficult for parents, you know, to, like, you know, so they can, what they can and cannot be. Now, what that brother was talking about before, Ed, he's an amazing person to listen to because he's inspiring people to the truth. As opposed to the other one, Matthew, who wrote the book and and is expounding. He's gay. He's like a false prophet. He's telling people that it's okay to be gay and be married. I mean, we're all sinners. Just because we fall under temptation, that doesn't mean that we have to act on it. You know, like God said, you know, just because you're tempted, as long as you don't act upon your temptation, you're not a sinner, all right? Now, a gay person can be tempted into a certain lifestyle, but that doesn't mean they have to act on it.
Rosa, let me just ask you this. I appreciate the very kind words that you spoke at the beginning. What if they say, look, this is not just acting on a temptation. You're telling me I can never have a relationship. I could never marry a person I love. I could never live together with a person I love without that being sin. That's what they would say to you. In other words, it's one thing I'm married and I'm tempted to look at a woman I'm not married to. Well, that's sin, but I'm married. If you tell a same-sex attracted person, hey, you can't act on your desires, you can't be with someone of the same sex.
Yes, I would tell them that, yes. These things have to be told. You cannot tell them that it's okay. I mean, you have a lot of married people, men and women, that they have desires outside of their marriage just because they love, they finally found the love of their life. Does that mean that they should act on it and divorce the person they married?
Let's say that they got married prematurely. They married someone that was not suited for them, but they made lifetime vows, right? Then they meet someone and they're miserable in marriage, but they made a lifetime vow. Now their spouse has been faithful to them. They have no grounds for divorce. Now they meet someone who's the love of their life. This was the person they should have married. You're right. They can't divorce and remarry based on that. In God's sight, they made a lifetime vow, and they have to ask God for blessing on that. Or others, because of situations they're in, are living celibate lives. Because that's where they find themselves. Hey, Rosa, I appreciate you calling in. Here's the ultimate issue, all right? Does Scripture clearly address how we are to live? The answer is, of course. Does Jesus tell every one of us to follow him and deny ourselves? Absolutely. Is following Jesus more than enough for every one of us? Absolutely. Matt, I want you to grab clip 17 to 19. Clip number 17, this is Melissa Fryrier. She worked for a number of years with Dr. Dobson's Matt. Sorry, I meant Joey. Correct. Thanks for watching my back there. She worked for a while with Focus on the Family, and was involved in their ministry to those coming out of homosexuality or struggling in these areas. Godly woman. Now, when I last knew her, she was single. We want to start with number 17. I don't have 16 on my list. Is that Melissa also? Because if so, I don't have that on my list. So we'll start with number 16. And she has an amazing story. God really changed her life. She was living with another woman as a lesbian and godly Christian woman today. I just want you to hear some of her story. Number 16.
I was involved homosexually. I was not having successful relationships. I was abusing alcohol on almost a daily basis, doing the drugs on the weekend. I was an emotional cutter. I was overweight. I was not healthy. And life was becoming more and more unmanageable.
All right. So not every person is living a lesbian lifestyle is obviously in that condition, but that was her situation. So what happens? Number 17.
I presumed to know what I thought Christians thought of gays and lesbians. And from a few snapshots through television or stories from some of my friends about their Christian families, I just presumed that all Christians hated gays and lesbians.
Yeah, so that's what had to be overcome, all right? Her only impression was that Christians hated gays and lesbians. She continues her story. This is as she's sharing her testimony on CBN. Number 18.
And there was a couple in particular in their 70s, Doris and LJ, who were pillars in this church. And of course they knew, one look at me, I mean, they knew exactly what was going on. And they just, they were like Christ to me and stepped right into my life and scooped me into their arms and knit me into their hearts.
Wow. So here they're traditional people, an older couple in a traditional church. And these two ladies, I mean, they're living together. They're a lesbian couple. And they demonstrated the love of God. They demonstrated the character of Jesus. And over a period of time, it led to Melissa's wonderful transformation. We'll be right back, and we will go straight to your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Now, you see, here's the challenge. Someone like Melissa Fryer comes to faith. By the way, Newsweek has another article on ex-gay pride. And look, all these famous ex-gays, they've all failed. They've all fallen back. They acknowledge they never really changed. Yes, some have. Some have. A number of well-known ones have, and plenty haven't. Plenty haven't. We hear from them all the time. They're the unknown ones. They're not the ones that are in front of thousands of people or millions of people. They're not the ones that everybody's heard about. They're the ones that send me an email. They're the ones like the husband of a woman who called yesterday, or like Ed that called us a little while ago. So, there are prominent ones that have messed up, and there are plenty, by God's grace, countless thousands from what we know around the world, who have been transformed by God's love and who are living changed lives. Some are simply saying no to homosexual desires and attractions and walking with Jesus. And others are, they've had their desires changed and they're happily married as heterosexuals, and others in all different places in between. But here's the challenge. And we'll listen to the last clip from Melissa Fryer. Change may not come overnight, just like change didn't come overnight to many of us in many deep areas in our lives. Look, I was instantly delivered from drugs and other addictions, but then God starts putting spotlight on other things in your life. Well, what if someone comes to the Lord and they don't instantly stop sleeping with their girlfriend? What if someone comes to the Lord and they don't instantly leave their job as a porno shop salesperson? What if someone comes to the Lord and doesn't instantly quit their involvement in a violent gang? And how long do these things take, etc., etc.? So those are the fair questions to ask. Let's listen to clip number 19, then we'll go to the phones. Melissa Fryer, we were talking about what happened once she did come to faith.
Well, we were so emotionally entangled, emotionally enmeshed and codependent. That was a process of slowly untangling our lives from one another and from the gay and lesbian community that we were a part of. And it was amazing how God just worked that out, like in these 3 or 4 month intervals of time where we repented of sexual behavior, but yet we still shared a bedroom together and a bed together. And then time unfolded and that didn't seem right. And then eventually realized we can't live together. That's not right. We need to move apart. And how God fully separated our lives. And that was then in 1994.
Ah, so God worked. Sometimes if we see someone growing in grace, we just pray and God works in their lives. If people resist and reject the call to repent, that's another story. Let's go to Charlotte, our friend Brian. Oh, come on. We are... This is one day where folks have not been able to hold for long, it seems. 866-34-TRUTH. All right. You know what? Just gotten a call from someone whose review and comments I took very strong exception to, not because they differed, but because I felt they were misleading and ugly, hate-filled attacks. And, you know, people can have very, very different perspectives on the same issues. So I always look for dialogue. I'm constantly looking to sit down with people and talk behind the scenes or invite them to talk to me on the air. So just getting a call from a gentleman, I probably quoted some of his words on the air yesterday. Jerry, tell you what, stay right there, all right? We have a break at the top of the hour coming up, and it wouldn't be fair to get you on the air and then immediately have to get off. So if you can stay on hold for a moment, I promise to give you a hearing, and we'll talk about these issues, responses to my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? And what I found interesting is I've interacted with folks who differ with me. I always tell this story because it's representative. I had a flight to Rome, so it's about an 8-hour flight. The gentleman next to me immediately was out and proud. Yeah, I'm going to Rome, got a free day. I'm a flight attendant. He's a flight attendant. We got some miles. This cost me like $25 for this flight, and we're going to spend a day together. He was immediately out and proud. So I was immediately out and proud, told him I'm a follower of Jesus and hold to conservative biblical values, and in other words, taking seriously what Scripture says. And we talked, I don't know, for hours. And at the end of the flight, I said to him, if you met someone who held to my views, would you consider that person to be homophobic? He said, absolutely. I said, do you consider me to be homophobe? He said, oh, absolutely not. I heard your heart. And that's the biggest thing. We often caricature one another, don't hear and understand each other. And because of that, to the extent we can talk face to face, it's always for the best. So we're going to seek to facilitate that by phone as soon as possible. Blessed to see, as soon as my book is out now, Can You Be Gay and Christian? Responding with Love and Truth to Questions About Homosexuality, that it was immediately number one in books and gay and lesbian nonfiction. There seems to be an interest in this across the board. And those who read it will see the compassion with which it's written, and along with that, the fact that God in His Word makes things very clear. I've been reading to you through the week on the Tree of Life version of the Bible. This is a new Messianic version. Different Jewish scholars, Christian scholars, Messianic Jewish scholars, Christian scholars involved in it. And it's meant for folks of all backgrounds that are believers or a Jewish seeker. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and you'll see the Messianic sensitivities in the midst of it. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. The sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, those who practice homosexuality, thieves, the greedy, drunkards, slanderers, swindlers, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. This is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were made holy, you were set right in the name of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah and by the Ruach of our God. To get your copy of the Tree of Life Bible, and by the way, for the skeptics and cynics that listen or write in to us, we've been doing radio, for 6+ years, daily talk radio, and we've had God knows how many offers, special resource offers over the years. Out of all the resource offers, my combined income or combined royalty or combined benefit from all of them has been a combined $0, because the money that comes in goes right back out into ministry. Of course, that's why we do what we do. We want to encourage you to get hold of your copy of the Tree of Life Bible. This is only for a limited time. Your gift of any size, a recommended gift of $30. It is a beautiful hardcover edition, the first ever complete translation by Messianic and Jewish and Christian scholars of the Bible. But your gift of any size, this way those who have more can help those who have left less, and we can serve the whole body. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. And my bottom line today, simply this. Jesus did tell us it was not just hearing the truth, but continuing in the truth, continuing in His Word that would make us real disciples. And then and only then would we experience real freedom. Well, can you be gay and Christian? Are there really new biblical arguments that say that you can practice homosexuality and follow Jesus at the same time? And how can we stand with God's word and reach out with love and compassion at the same time?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire. This is the day of the official release of my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? I only realized that in some forms it had come out already on Sunday when I spotted a review on the book, which I felt was anything but a review, more of a personal attack. And then it's been changed quite a few times. The most recent form says this: Fred Phelps of Westboro died, meaning Westboro Baptist, but did he rise again in the form of Michael Brown? I believe that was stated earlier as if it's a fact now, question mark. This new Messiah, speaking of me, seems to be preaching a new gospel. The core message is shown in Can You Be Gay and Christian is that Christ came to raise up strict religious conservatives who will proclaim the laws of ancient scriptures and impose them via current civil laws and social bullying. To outsiders, this sounds like a Sharia law approach for Christian nations. Now, if I was making this up, I wouldn't make up something so extreme and absurd, because all someone has to do is pick up the book and realize that basically every word there is false. And yet, the gentleman who wrote that is a professing Christian and who seems to be very sincere about what he has to say. I don't think he's intentionally making things up. We interacted a little bit on Facebook. I don't know him, but I said, hey, great, of course, let's interact. And we encouraged him to call in the show. So here right now is Jerry, the author of that ever-morphing review on Amazon. Thank you for taking the time to call in.
Good to be with you.
Would you just kindly explain that the part of the review that I read, the comparison to Fred Phelps of God Hates Fags, who would hold protests at funerals of Americans who were killed overseas? Just the comparison there would be, sure, as far as I can tell, comparing you to a Martian woman. Just trying to understand where you're coming from, sir.
Yeah, in reading your book, it struck me as I was reading how quickly and dismissively you derided gay teen suicides and transgender issues. You didn't seem to have any awareness of the depth of the human lives you were throwing away with what I saw as very careless and actually undocumented claims, for the most part, regarding those two issues, teen suicides and transgender issues.
All right, so let's just start there. You've got a guy shouting God hates fags, speak all kinds of venom. I start my book with lengthy quotes about people and their struggles to educate the church about struggles professing, quote, gay Christians go through. I start the second chapter talking about gay suicides and the agony of this, telling the church you need to recognize the pain and the weight of this, and do that throughout my book. I mean, instantly, yeah, anyone who reads the book will say this guy's making it up or he's lying. So
no.
That's utterly bizarre that you start there, because that's the first thing I want the reader to grab hold of is the reality and depth of these struggles and these lives that are hanging in the balance.
I disagree. I think your book comes across as a wife beater who puts on a happy face mask. And I think it comes across as totally insincere. And I feel that there's a deep rage underneath you for some reason that is causing you to lash out at gay and lesbian people and write multiple books on a topic in which you have no education and no expertise.
Jerry, by the way, just a real serious question as I was praying for you today. Are you on any kind of medication at all?
No. Nice try, no. though. You're a
No. The reason I asked was because it's impossible for anyone thinking rationally, and we'll be right back. Jerry knows we had a short opening session. It's impossible for anyone to read Can You Be Gay and Christian rationally and openly and come to these conclusions. Let's be praying right now for Jerry. Obviously, he needs the Lord's work in his life. Let's be praying, and we'll continue our dialogue. God of
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're talking about my brand new book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? And blessed by the reports of those who have been reading it and are being helped and touched by it. The caller on the line has written a scathing review. I think it's been about six different forms so far in 2 days, accusing me of, well, things I was even personally shocked to read, even used to getting attacked. And he's spoken of my insensitivity to the issue of gay suicide and the alleged rage that underlies my life here in these areas. So I just want to read this. And Jerry, I want your specific reaction to this. I start chapter two by talking about the movie Prayers for Bobby, about a young man raised in a Christian home, identified as gay. The mother did not support him, quoted scripture, and he ended up killing himself. His mother has a change of heart, but of course it's too late. And I write here, as tragic as the story is, there's something even more tragic. It's actually not that uncommon, and so we are told Mary Griffith is not the only parent to lose a gay child to suicide due to the parents' religious convictions that drove the children to such despair that they ultimately took their own lives. This is a parent's worst nightmare. Could it be, then, that well-meaning parents and religious leaders are driving gay kids to suicide by their religious dogmatism? Could it be that they're using the Bible, which is supposed to bring life and hope, to bring death and despair? And as I say in the book, we are talking about people's lives here. And we're talking about also about the Word of God, the God of compassion, the Father of the Lord Jesus, the God of mercy and forgiveness and grace, as well as the God of holiness and truth, not just some religious manual. All of which means that we should tread carefully and prayerfully when dealing with such life and death issues, such sensitive life and death issues. Jerry, that's the tone of my whole book. What you're describing is a non-existent book.
Wrong.
So why don't you respond to those words that I just quoted to you from the book?
Sure. First of all, you've told us that you were a drug addict and dealer. I just have to ask you if you were a prison punk, because it seems you're so angry with gay people that there's some deep underlying problem.
Oh, Jerry, I got saved at 16. I don't even know what a prison punk is. Right. I got saved at 16. I've never been in jail. But where are you getting this? Obviously, there's something in you that you're projecting in such a way that's completely irrational. I just read words full of compassion, sensitivity. God knows the tears I shed over these very people.
The passive-aggressive approach to things.
No, just I just read a quote to you. What is lacking in sensitivity and compassion in those words, sir?
Yeah, because you're pre-selecting. You're not. You set us up because you put on the mask and say the nice, kind words. And then you
so I don't really mean them.
Death.
So what I write is kind. Understand this. What I write in the book is kind words, but
wrong.
You don't believe
you
them.
You start that way, but then you.
Well,
slip
show
in
me
the
a
knife.
Passage that's not kind. You have. You,
yeah,
you
I
say you've read
book
the book
in front of me. It's on the computer, and I had to turn that off when I put it on the radio show. But it's not about a passage. Your overall conclusion is that gay people are sick, twisted people who are addicted to
unhealthy
lifestyle.
No, that's false, Jerry. That's false. You're making it up. You made up every word. You made up every single word there. It's not in my book.
Because you ordered your cult-like followers to, by the hundreds, to tear down my, to personally attack me on the review.
Sir. No, here's what happened. Jerry, here's what happened. Here's what happened. You wrote a libelous, false review. When I see that, because that's what not Amazon. Jerry, hang on. Jerry, hang on.
Yourself a Christian because
Jerry, hang on. This is my airtime, and I'm giving you a slap, but you got to stop, okay? Then you'll be able to talk. Number one, you wrote a libelous personal attack on Amazon, not based on the book, and you spoke false things about the book. I have 25 books, hundreds and hundreds of reviews, and negative reviews are fine if they're honest. What I do is if I see something dishonest, then I'll post on Amazon and say, hey, what do you think of this review? That's what I'll do. I'll post on Facebook, social media. What do you think of this review? And that's it. People weigh in. They have a problem with you lying about my book and lying about me. That's the issue. But let's go back to this. You say in my book, I say
you
that gays
are
sick, twisted, etc.
You have the smiley face on and you run around just stabbing people in the heart. You just
so I'm a violent person.
Give me an example. Red shirts to the Charlotte Pride Festival.
To hand out bottles of water that said Jesus loves you.
I read your
moms, dads, and kids handing out bottles of water that said Jesus loves
you. Yeah, you've learned some lessons that you took on Kathy Baldock's daughter. But
I interacted with Kathy's daughter face-to-face and had a pleasant talk with her and said I appreciate her mom's passion. Jerry, you're making things up. You're living, sir.
Cut off the kind heterosexual Christian lady who just has the sin of being more compassionate than yourself, sir.
Jerry, just listen. Let's stop with it's been one lie after another.
Then if you want an honest,
I'm listening to you patiently. Jerry, let's go back. Jerry, tell you what.
Let's have a talk.
I do not, here's the last shot at it. I'm not going to waste our listeners' time. Obviously, you're very troubled. That's obvious, okay? And folks, please do pray for this gentleman. He professes to be a follower of Jesus and obviously, quote, gay Christian. Would you join our prayer team and pray for him? I'm really serious. When I hear someone this out of touch with reality, it is terribly concerning to me. So let's try this one more time, all right? I'll give you the last shot at this. You said that I say in the book that gays are sick and twisted. All right. You also allege that I conflate homosexuality with pedophilia in your review. You also allege that I say that homosexuality is a choice. Please back up any one of those. Just let's start with this one thing. You say in my book, I say that gays are sick and twisted. Give me one example.
Sure. That's the entire message that you have for gay people.
Jerry, it's not there. There's not a syllable of it. Jerry, there's not a syllable of that in the book.
You are on the
Southern
Poverty Law Center's hate group list because you know what you said about Jerry Sandusky and many other
people. No, I'm not on their hate. Jerry, I am not on their hate. Jerry, all right, tell you what. I tried. I genuinely tried. Perhaps that was unwise, but I genuinely tried. Father, in Jesus' name, I really pray for Jerry, that you give him a spirit of repentance, that you open his eyes to reality, that you set him free from whatever it is that is troubling him, and that you have mercy on his soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, hey, so maybe I did give him too much time. Trust me, I do try. And if you want to fault me for trying. So here's my word of wisdom to all my brothers and sisters who care about those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. Here's my word of wisdom to pastors and leaders. This is an issue you cannot avoid. And you just what you heard, these false attack after false attack against me. And by the way, the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has the blood of the guard at Family Research Center on its hands because of spreading false information about them and even their location. That man went into massacre and thankfully was stopped, wounded the guard, but was stopped by him. The Southern Poverty Law Center is not having me on their hate group list. If they did, I'd be honored. Okay, and they're increasingly recognized as the hate group spreading misinformation. But they do have me as one of the leaders of the new radical right, along with David Duke, former Grand Wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, and Malik Zulu Shabazz, head of the new Black Panthers. Yeah, this is a former head, I think. Anyways, this is what we deal with. But here, you just saw what happened. You saw how ugly that got, how irrational that got. This is by a professing Christian who I believe said he's an ordained minister. A lot of Christians, individuals, leaders, step back. You step back because you don't want to be attacked like that. You step back because you don't want to be maligned like that. You step back because you don't want to be accused of all this stuff. And you know no matter how carefully you say things, and no matter how much of a broken heart you communicate with, you will be hated and maligned. Friends, you have no choice. You must speak up. You must do what's right. You must reach out. And if you practice something that I've done over the years, when you hear something that is obviously demented and satanic coming against you, turn it around to the opposite and take it as a good word from the Lord. So don't step back. Don't step back. Don't be intimidated by lies and misinformation. And let's do what's right, regardless of cost and consequence. On the flip side, and I'm going to play some clips for you, Joey. We'll start. In fact, Joey, we'll lead in the next segment with number one. I want you to realize that there are people that are bashers and that speak in such a way that it makes the rest of us look bad. So let's speak the truth in love. Let's speak the truth with broken hearts. Let's speak the truth with the compassion of Jesus. And then let the chips fall where they may. Was Jesus hated, maligned, mocked, called Beelzebub? Yes. And he said, if that's what was done for the master of the house, it's going to be worse for the servants of the household. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You need a Bible spanking. This is probably the most Bible you guys have heard in years.
You want to hear something?
This is probably the It shows.
For this reason,
it shows.
Ignorant people.
I would repent. Church is for the repentant. I have no unrepented of sin in my life at this moment. Not a bit. There is no beam in my eye.
Yeah, you know, I've run into folks like that appear to be a bit self-righteous. Even professing Christians, I've run into at a gay pride event when I was just walking around looking for individuals to share the gospel with, individuals to speak with one-on-one. And as a result of that, people that were more aggressive challenged me, and I wasn't doing the right thing because I wasn't standing there yelling at people. Yeah, it does give the gospel a bad name. I'm all for open-air preaching, and I'm all for speaking the truth. There are ways to do it that drive people away, and there are ways to do it that drive people to Jesus. And yes, people will hate us, and some will be driven away, but let it be for the truth and the character of Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you differ with me, what I've written in Can You Be Gay and Christian, or if God has done a work in your own life and you have been changed by the power of the gospel that relates to sexual issues, or bondages, sexual bondages, or same-sex attractions. If God's done a deep work in your life, feel free to give us a call, 866-348-7884. Joey, I want to play replay clip number 10. I played it in the first hour. This is from a Tampa Gay Pride event. And this is from someone, again, he was wishing AIDS on the people. He's calling them by names that he knows are very offensive. That obviously we would avoid using for that very reason, nor do we feel that that's the way God would have us address them. But listen to what he has to say. Clip number 10 again.
You need to honor God and fear God is what you need to do. You're an exact example of why America's getting judged by God. Homos just like you. Wicked and vile. I'm a born-again Christian. That's what I am. That's who I am to judge you. On the road to hell. Full of the devil and damning this country straight to hell.
Now here's what we have to recognize. There are gay pride events, not as much now as in the past, and certainly not as much in smaller locations as in big cities, but there have been over the years gay pride events that display every type of vulgar, hateful, despicable behavior. In the early days in Charlotte, North Carolina, when we were involved here, just learning in terms of what was happening in the city when we moved this area 10 years ago or 11 years ago now, there were some really vile, ugly things that took place at the Gay Pride event. It's since been tamed pretty dramatically. And when we met with the city council, we said heterosexual or homosexual, this would be despicable. But there was no equivalent of a heterosexual march or parade that displayed such vile things, such unclean things, and with open sexual displays, and even in cases flashing of nudity and pornography and things like that. And we said to city council, heterosexual or homosexual, this does not believe in it, belong in a city park in our city, especially in the presence of children. Well, what happens is often we see that. Often we see the worst displays. Often we see the very real attacks on our freedom of religion, conscience, and speech through gay activism. And then we demonize all those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender. Can I remind you, as I've said many, many times in the past, that your average person who identifies as gay or lesbian or bisexual, transgender is not an activist? And they're basically, they just want to live their lives and they just want to be accepted for who they are. And now more and more, they want their relationships to be recognized as legitimate. But they are not actively seeking. I'm talking about your average gay lesbian person. They're not actively seeking to shut down your religious freedoms. They are not posting hate-filled comments about you day and night and lying about you on the internet. They are not going to the courts. I'm talking about your average person. They are not going to the courts to to file a suit against a Christian who had to not participate in something conscientiously as a believer, and on I could go. And what happens is we'll often demonize people because of the worst behavior. And you say, well, that's what you've done in your book. No, actually, I'm very careful. That's why it's only the attacks of the critics that will demonize what I've actually written in my books that present these false pictures. And look, it's not just the aspect of my life, the whole of my life, which is devoted to pleasing the Lord and honoring Jesus and lifting him up rightly. But there's also the scholar in me wanting to be accurate. That's why a queer thing happened to America ended up being 700 pages long with 1,500 endnotes. And the only reason it's under 700 pages, like 690, is because the endnotes are tiny. If you get it on ebook, they're not as tiny. they're tiny. But I just wanted to document everything and be careful and lay everything out in full. You say, yeah, but use that word queer. I use the word because it's been an accepted word for a decade now. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, Queer Bible Commentary, Queer Studies in college and university, gender queer vocabulary cards for children in elementary school. I use the word because it's been mainstreamed. Otherwise, I wouldn't have used it. And I sat with many a gay lesbian person, talked about it, or showed them the book, and not a one of them had a problem with the title. In fact, some thought it was clever. So the fact is, there are those who make the rest of us look bad. And then, let me say this again, no matter how careful you are, you will never be more loving than Jesus. You will never be more truth-filled than Jesus. You will never be more compassionate than Jesus. And yet, the attacks will come against you as if you're the most vile sinner. Are you willing to handle that? No, better get out of the kitchen then, because it gets hot in there. And these are the types of things we have to deal with every day. You know how much maligning people go through in ex-gay ministry? Do you know how much maligning people go through who come out for a second time? They came out first as gay, then they come out of that and say, I'm a new person in Jesus. Either my desires have changed or they haven't changed, but I know they're wrong and I'm just devoting myself to the Lord. Do you know the flack, the attack they come on under, the maligning day and night? It's unreal. And yet they do it because they love people and they love the Lord. Will your love for the Lord and love for people overcome your desire to be accepted? 866-34-TRUTH. I've got a number of interesting sound bites to play for you, and we'll be talking about my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? Maybe opening up one of the more controversial subjects as well that's in the book. And have you ordered, this is for a limited time now, ordered your copy of the Tree of Life Messianic version of the Bible with Messianic distinctives, but made for the whole church, the only Bible of its kind ever produced, now available in the entire Bible? Don't you know that your bodies are members of Messiah? Shall they then take the members of Messiah and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Just quoting from 1 Corinthians 6:15 in the Tree of Life version. It's yours for your gift of any size, but we encourage a gift of at least $30. If you're not able to give that, it's still yours for your gift of any size. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. And those that can give more to help those who have less, let's partner together to get these Bibles out.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So let me ask you that question once again. Are you willing to love God and love people more than you are desiring to be accepted? That's going to mean everything in terms of making a difference in people's lives, because many of us, frankly, we are more concerned about offending people than we're concerned about offending God. We're more concerned about human opinion than about God's opinion. We'd rather be liked by people than liked by God or approved by God. 866-34-TRUTH. Joey, grab clip number 7. Lady Gaga, a woman who obviously needs the Lord. I'm not familiar with her music. In other words, if I heard a song, I wouldn't recognize it, but I've read about her. She's obviously one of the more influential artists today, and probably very gifted and clearly very lost and not known for her modesty or godliness. And it could be that she sides with the underdog. That could be very real. What was her song Born That Way that was the quickest to get 1 million downloads on iTunes, so affecting a younger generation? This is a street preacher, shows us some card and a hell-related card or get-out-of-hell-free thing, and she begins to interact with him. This is an open-air preacher. Clip number 7.
I'm Lady Gaga. Well, hello, I'm just...
Yeah, that's going to happen one day, darling.
Well, they better open up the gate.
There. Talking to you over here.
I'm listening. You know, we really believe in God at my show.
Yeah, well, your pervert ways don't quite equate to what God is all about, darling.
So my pervert ways?
Yeah, you know, the homo stuff.
The homo stuff.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's hurtful that...
it's in the black book, the gold edges, the little ribbon. Yeah.
I went to Catholic school for 13 years.
That's probably most of your problem is you got raised in a screwy religion.
Now, by the way, I understand where this guy's coming from, why he's saying some of what he's saying, and I don't hear him screaming and yelling at her. But the question is... Yeah, we're going to be accused of hate. We are going to be accused of hate. Mark it down. We are going to be accused of every foul thing. But what are we doing to contribute towards it? When I was a new believer, I was so full of zeal and witnessing to everyone. And I'm sure I was also lacking in wisdom and compassion. And I once said something to a guy. He was mocking me around other students in high school, and I had a quick comeback because that was going to be me. I was going to have a quick comeback. You're going to insult me, I'll insult you back, and I did. And you know, my other immature Christian friends around me, like, yeah, great job, Mike. And then we reflect on it. It was a nasty thing I said to him, and of course, I sought to get it right. But you know, just having the quick comeback. You know, the old saying, you could win the argument and lose the soul. And yet, when you are vilified, when you are mocked in certain ways, you tend to want to withdraw. And rather than get out there where you're going to be mocked. Here, I spend a long time working on this book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? And it's based on decades of serious biblical scholarship. In fact, I find it funny that people mock me. You have no background here. You just studied Near Eastern languages and Bible. It's like, oh, so you believe what I write about that? No, you don't know anything about that either. It's like, oh, so my area of expertise, I don't have expertise in either. But here's the thing. You take time. I write this with compassion. I write this as a scholar. And immediately you get vilified and mocked for it. So pastors, leaders, teachers, individual believers, that's what's going to happen to you. I want to strongly encourage you. Do what's right. One day people will thank you, but you know that the smile of God will be on you. Back with your calls and some interesting thoughts about apologetics and the gospel.
fire we please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. So if you don't have yet my book, Can You Begin Christian? Well, if you have it, it would be that you ordered it instantly. We will be just a few days getting in our shipment. The opening books to get, the first ones will be numbered and signed and sent you. We're just waiting for the shipment to arrive and eager to get that to you. But this whole idea that there are only six passages in the Bible that deal with homosexual practice, the so-called clobber passages, absolutely not. I have a whole chapter, 23 pages plus endnotes, called The Bible is a Heterosexual Book, where I laid out, it's because the Bible explicitly states that heterosexuality is God's intended norm for the human race, and the only form of union acceptable to God in marriage, that the biblical authors didn't say more about homosexual practice. The little they said was more than enough, given the fact that the Bible, from beginning to end, is a heterosexual book. So, and you say, well, you know, I heard stuff talking about David and Jonathan. We deal with that. We deal with the verses. We look at that in depth and show how that does anything but, support the view that God sanctions homosexual practice in certain settings. 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call. Again, my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian, now out and immediately getting vilified by the mockers and getting warm appreciation from the actual readers, especially those reading it with an open heart and mind. And I believe I really believe God is going to enable this book to reach a whole lot of hurting people. And when they read it, contrary to what the mockers say, when they read it, they're going to be greeted with love. They're going to be greeted with compassion. They're going to be greeted with long suffering. They'll read it and say, oh, okay, even this guy's heterosexual, looks like he understands what the issues are. And I think that's going to be really helpful as we walk through the scripture step by step, truthfully, honestly, with open hearts and minds. Let's go to Hearst, Texas. Margaret, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, doctor. I just, first of all, want to say something to the caller, two callers ago. If you're a pastor and you claim to be, you would know what the Bible would say. In the book of the Torah, which happens to have the sundry laws, God makes it very clear about homosexuality. Going into the book of Revelation, chapter 21, he makes it very clear about sexual immorality of any kind. And then you go to Romans, chapter 1, he makes it exceedingly clear to those who condone it. And I want to say to you, sir, who's listening on the air, you were very rude and you didn't show the fruits of Christ at all. And as for you, Dr. Brown, I thought you were terrific, and I'm very proud of you. I'm honored, and I'm amazed at how well you handled yourself to somebody who apparently does not know Christ. And I think he's very fearful. I believe he has a lot of fear inside of him. A lot of these homosexuals do, because they know the truth, even though their consciences are seared. And that terrorizes them. So I applaud you, sir. And I want you to know, I came out of that lifestyle many years ago, and don't think that that trash isn't seriously dangerous. It is, because it still tries to haunt you and snare you back. That's a reality, and I had to go through deliverance to get that trash out. So
Margaret,
God loves you.
Yes. First, thank you. Thank you for the kind words. And by the way, when I asked Jerry if he was taking any kind of medication, he may have taken that as an attack or mockery. But in point of fact, I could not understand how someone could rationally say what was being said, you know, and actually mean it. And sometimes there are people, you know, with advanced HIV, AIDS, I don't know the situation, and there is medication. And I don't know, it could have been medication for something else, but it was a genuine, honest question, because when I was praying from earlier, I'm thinking, how could someone, it's one thing to differ. It's one thing to say, Dr. Brown, I think you're wrong about the scripture. It's another thing to say, Dr. Brown, what you're preaching and teaching is hurting people, or Mike, I think you're wrong on this point, or whatever. It's another thing to read those words. In other words, I read on the screen Margaret from Hearst, Texas, and what I see instead is you know Manuel from Hollywood, Tennessee, and I say, why are you screaming and yelling at me? You know, it's such a disconnect from reality. And I really constantly try to reach out. I mean, if I had time, I'd sit and talk to people day and night. But I'm constantly saying, let's talk. I mean, I've put out so many invitations to people on the other side.
Dr. Brown, let's talk.
Yeah, go ahead.
You did not display any hatred. You didn't display any hatred or anger. I didn't even hear it in your heart.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, of course. And I'm so, Margaret, let me ask you this. How long, when you talk about coming out of a lifestyle, did you identify as lesbian for a period of your life?
You know what? I was more of a, I hate to say this, was a bisexual. Mm-hmm. And I was ashamed of that lifestyle. It was horrible. It was a horrible experience, to say the least. And it is in bondage. It's perverted. It really is. I can't say it because out of hate. I'm saying it because that's what I came out of. It is filthy and twisted and vulgar. And it is. And it, you know, when you come out of it and you go through deliverance, don't think that those, and it's reality. Those, forgive me, I'm not trying to cause hurt to anybody. Hear my heart. But they are demons, and they really do come in. And I don't know how they come in for other people, but for me, because of what I went through. But the thing is, it was perverted, and it's tormenting, and it will try to ensnare you back. And you know what? It is horrible because your conscience will get seared. But I praise God because he had to let me hit rock bottom. And there were people that loved me and told me the truth. They didn't tolerate it. And those that were really discerning of spirits, they rejected me, and it was a good thing that they rejected me because that stung. It did something to my conscience, and I wanted to be normal. I really do, and I think a lot of these people do. But the problem is that, you know what? They say that you don't love us because you're telling us the truth. I beg to differ with you. We do love you. That's why we're telling you.
Yeah, in fact, in many cases, Margaret, you get so hated and vilified for telling the truth. If you didn't love people, You wouldn't do it. It's like when a kid, and I'm not comparing myself to a father disciplining someone here, but when you discipline a kid and you know they've got to learn their lesson now or they're going to get in trouble later, they say, you hate me. That's why you're doing it. That's how human beings often respond. Look, as I often point out, as a Jewish believer in Jesus, I'm telling fellow Jews they need Jesus or they're lost. That's a tremendous insult to them. And then they're telling me I'm deceived or a deceiver. But that's what happens. And, you know, I just want to say this, Margaret. When you're talking about demons, I believe every activity in our lives, if we give ourselves to the flesh or open doors, be it heterosexual issues, homosexual issues, be it marriage issues, family issues, personal life issues, that we can open the door to demonic influence and bondage. And that the devil doesn't make us do things, but we can open the door and really find ourselves enslaved in many, many different ways. And so we need to recognize that there is a real spiritual battle on many, many different fronts. Margaret, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Donald in Greensboro, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown?
Yes, sir.
My name is Donald. I've been listening to you ever since today. I just been coming on, and I don't like it how that guy and people, if they listen to you as much as I do, they know you are just as fast as can be. And I was getting a little nervous because I was getting upset I was going to say something, but I want to tell you that I'm listening to you, and you always been fast. And he's saying, he's taking on, even if it's controversial or something, you always been fast to the people. And so I don't like that. So you continue doing what you're doing because you've been always like that. And he's taking the name. I've had friends that were gay because I'm 70 now. I wasn't gay, but when I was coming up, Doc, they said, "Listen, I know this is wrong, but this is what I want to do." And they didn't try to make anybody do anything. They will and do what they tried, you know, get what to do. But now everybody's trying to make it because it's wrong. It's wrong if you don't even know what spiritual thing is wrong. Physically, two men can't procreate, and two women can't. So how can But people are getting all messed up, but I don't want to get in there. But you're doing good. Keep doing what you're doing. I enjoy it, and I petition and buy some of your books and stuff and everything.
So hey, Donald. Thank you for the kind words. And, you know, I really try to give folks an opportunity to interact. You know, we've had, for example, Professor John Corvino. He's an openly homosexual philosophy professor, gay activist, and as civil a gentleman as you want to interact with. We had him on the air. We discussed our differences plainly, openly. I'd love to have a public debate with him on the issues. There are others I've had on the air that we really differ, and we have civil dialogue. And look, we got to ultimately, we're neighbors, we live in the same planet, figure out in the midst of our differences how to be civil with each other. But unfortunately, sir, some people, they're obviously struggling so deeply on the inside that they can't even be civil. And what concerns me again is when you see things in such eyes, like in the days of racism, well, racism is still here, racist, you know, they literally see something a certain way. They see a black person or a white person or a Jewish person or an Asian person as a menace. And God help us. But thank you for the very kind words, and may the Lord's blessing be on you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I mentioned some interesting points about apologetics, and they're relevant to what we're talking about, but I've got such limited time. I think I'm going to save some of that for tomorrow. And let me just take a couple of minutes and do a little actual teaching to help equip you to deal with some of the issues that come up. So in my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian? What I think is important to know, before I get to the so-called clobber passages or the key verses that are used to say that homosexual practice is wrong in God's sight, I have over 100 pages of content. You say, wow, why? Because I'm dealing with lots of other issues and lots of broader, wider issues as well. So it's important to put this in a larger context. And then I have some chapters, another 30, 40, 50 pages of material after dealing with some of these key passages. So most of my book is not just the recapitulation of some of the standard material about, here are the passages, here are the answers to the passages. It's a much, much broader book than that. That's why I wrote it. That's why I wrote it with the hope that it would really be a textbook that folks could use. There's the tremendous scholarship of Professor Robert Gagnon in his book, The Bible and Homosexual Practice. And that remains the number one scholarly book on the subject, but it's too academic for many and too much to go through for many, hence my book. But I tackle lots of other issues. And what about this notion that the Hebrew word for abomination, toevah, has nothing to do with moral sin? It only has to do with ritual prohibitions, just like eating shellfish or something like that. So the, quote, gay Christian argument is this: the prohibition against homosexual practice in ancient Israel was part of the ceremonial Levitical law, which also prohibited such things as eating shellfish and pork or wearing a garment made of two kinds of fabrics. Obviously, those laws no longer apply to us today. Plus, the word abomination in the Hebrew simply speaks of ritual defilement, not moral sin. How do you respond to that? Man, it's in the Bible. It's an abomination. Someone says to you, do you eat lobster? You eat shellfish? That's an abomination. You're like, yeah, well, that's different. Well, why do we say it's different? Now, first thing, Leviticus doesn't call the violations of food laws abomination. It doesn't use the same word in Leviticus 11. So let's just straighten that out. And let's also point out that when the food laws are listed in Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14, you'll see that God says these are detestable for you, meaning for Israel. So these were separation laws. But what about this idea that the word toevah in Hebrew does not mean abomination in any moral sense? It only means abomination in a ritual sense. Well, I get into that in depth, and this again being my background in scholarship, Hebrew, Semitic scholarship, and I point out that toevah means abhorrent not simply taboo. So Deuteronomy 23:7, you shall not abhor an Edomite. Here is the verb ta'av, which is related to the noun to'eva. Either to'eva comes from ta'av or ta'av comes from to'eva. To abhor, to be abhorrent. You shall not abhor an Egyptian, for he is your brother. You shall not abhor an Egyptian because you were sojourner in his land. Job 19:19, all my intimate friends abhor me. Job 30:10, they abhor me. Psalm 5:6, you destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. Psalm 14, the fool says in his heart, there is no God, they are corrupt, they do abominable deeds. So the first thing to say is that the verb ta'av, which is related to to'eva, means to detest, to abhor. To'eva is something detestable. And then, as one of the leading Old Testament lexicon points out in Leviticus, the phrase, the abhorrent customs, hukot ha-to'evot, refers to the abhorrent customs of the Canaanites, but which is meant in particular sexual perversity. In Deuteronomy 12:31, to'eva refers to child sacrifice. In Deuteronomy 7:26, to idolatry. In Deuteronomy 25:15-17, to dishonest weights and measures. So just in these three verses, we see serious moral infractions from the idolatrous practice of child sacrifice to worshiping foreign gods in general to unethical business practices. They all fit under the category of to'eva, something abhorrent, detestable. So I deal with these issues and demonstrate how these prohibitions were universal in content and universal in intent, I should say. They were not just for Israel, they were for all people, just like the prohibition of murder, virtually the entire world recognizes adultery is wrong. There are universal prohibitions that are wrong for all people. For all people. The prohibition against homosexual practice is one of those. Can I speak honestly to those of you who are listening who say, man, that's who I am. I was born this way. This is who I am. No matter how deep-seated these things are in your life, may I say to you that they do not define who you are. Your attractions, your desires do not affirm who you are. Some of you have deep, dark secrets, and to the core of your being, this is who you feel you are. May I say again, these things do not define your essential nature. You are not your desires. You are not your attractions. You are a human being created in the image of God, fallen, in need of redemption. That is true for every human being on the planet. And Jesus shed the same blood for heterosexual or homosexual. And if you not make sexuality the focus, but simply come to God as a sinner in need of forgiveness and salvation, start there. Don't worry about 20 years from now. Don't worry about, will I be able to marry? Just start there as a sinner in need of mercy and grace, the same place we all start. And God's mercy will be yours as you cry out to him for mercy in Jesus. And that is the blood that has been shed. John 3:16 in the Tree of Life version. And it says this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has been condemned already because he has not put his trust in the name of the one and only Ben Elohim, Son of God. To get your copy, we're asking those who can help with more funds to help those with less. We're encouraging a gift of at least $30, but your gift of any size, we will send you your copy of the Tree of Life translation of the entire Bible, first ever Messianic translation of the entire Bible of its kind. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. Available by phone only, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, don't let your desires, your attractions define you. Be defined by the quality of your relationship with God.